Well, Associate Professor Sarah Kane lectures in Human Resource Management and Employee Relations at the University of Technology, Sydney. She says the Dreamworld findings underline her research findings that companies don't listen enough to frontline workers' concerns and increasingly don't want to pay to train them either. We spoke earlier.
I think what this highlights again is the dangers where organisations take their eye off skilling up their employees and making sure that they're equipped to make decisions at the level they are in the organisation. And I think for me that's the takeaway, is that have we got the right people with the right skills in the right place at the right time, and a clear message being that there are huge dangers if we don't.
Why does it take a case of deaths, do you think, and in other cases scandal, for example, the Banking Royal Commission, I suppose, to expose wrongdoing and warped priorities? I mean, why aren't we hearing about these things as they are playing out before a disaster?
Look, I think one of the key things that we're missing in many organisations is we're missing opportunities for those on the front line to feed into decision making. So the workers at the front line, whether it's in banks, whether it's in, you know, amusement parks, etc., they're the ones that really have the knowledge and understanding about what's happening and what could potentially go wrong. We don't often have enough mechanisms to make sure that we're hearing the knowledge and the understanding and the lessons and the warnings of those workers.
Is this a question of the sort of reduced influence of unions? Is that one of the factors here?
I don't know enough about this particular case, but speaking generally, one of the main mechanisms of that kind of voice in the past has indeed been through a formal union voice. In the absence of that, you are more likely to end up with less, I guess, authentic expression by workers at the workplace, because it's moderated by, you know, the voices and the views of middle management.
So in your research, what do you see, what isn't happening that should be happening in terms of those frontline workers?
Well, and I will relate this most directly to my research. What we have seen over time is a reduction in the level of investment in training and skilling up of workers within workplaces and within organisations. That's now been a burden that's been put on individual workers themselves. If you want to gain more skills, you go off and do your own kind of educative activities. And so we have seen this movement away from investing in workers within organisations. And while that may seem, not an issue in many organisations, when there are safety considerations at risk, that is really important. And I understand that one of the findings today was that workers who had to make critical decisions really weren't equipped to do so. And so I think organisations need to take a long, hard look at themselves to see whether they're actually investing in their frontline staff in a way that's appropriate.
So does there need to be an element of compulsion about this? I mean, is this a question of bringing in new regulations, or is it shareholder action, or can we trust companies to take the lesson and run with it?
Look, I think there's going to be consideration of what the appropriate, you know, forms of action or remedy might be in the future, but I think one of the things that could be better organised is indeed formal mechanisms for workers to make sure that they get their views, their understandings, their knowledge, which is usually the most thorough within an organisation, through to the appropriate channels, be that the senior management or boards, in fact, that need to have the critical information that these workers have on the ground.
This was a life and death situation. We have four people who died. Is this a precedent, I guess?
Look, I can't pretend to be an expert on this area in that respect, Linda. I would just say that it's obviously marks a really serious moment, and one would hope that it marks some very serious reflection on behalf of lots of organisations, not just those that were directly involved.
Sarah Kane, thank you for your time today.
Thanks, Linda.
Associate Professor Sarah Kane from UTS.